Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father God, thank you for this morning. Thank you again for the worship time that we can praise you. I pray that you would also be with Brother Steve here as he brings us the message. I pray that your words would come through him, that you would anoint him, Father, today. And I pray that we could be, our hearts could be open to hear and receive what he has to say. Amen. Praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Sure where I put my notes now. Okay, good morning, everyone. I am excited for this morning. I like when I can come up here because I can't do it every time, but I can share something I just learned. That there is fun for me. But this concept that I want to read about, that I want to talk about this morning, I understood the concept before, but I never saw it so clearly laid out in scriptures. And it started by someone shared a verse with me a couple weeks ago. It was in 1 John 2, verses 12 and 14. It says this: I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. I write to you, fathers, because you have known him. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him who is from the beginning. I have written to you, young men, because you are strong and the word of God abides in you and you have overcome the wicked one. And what I saw in here, I saw three different groups of people. And I was reading this, I knew that there in scriptures, there's another group called babes. And so what I did is I started looking at all the verses and stacking up all the verses, and all of a sudden I saw a picture that I read all these verses before, but never in the context like this. And I saw, all of a sudden saw a picture. We have four different groups of people here. We have babes, we have little children, we have young men, and we have fathers. And all of a sudden I saw something. Not only does it lay out in scripture these four different groups, but it also lays out what these four different groups do. So as I go through this, I'm going to ask you to put yourself in one of these groups. We're all in one of these groups. Now, if you're not saved, you're not a part of this group, these groups that I'm talking about. But we're coming at these verses from the perspective that we're saved, we're born again, we're living for God. So now what category or what group do we fall into? I'm going to start with the babes in Christ. I think I'm going to read all the verses first, and then I'm going to come back and go over them again. The first group is in, the first passage is in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. For unto now you were not able to receive it. Even now you're still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there is envying and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behave like mere men? For when one says, I'm a Paul, and another says, I'm an Apollos, are you not carnal? The next group, passage is in Hebrews, chapter 5, verses 14 and chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For though by this time ye ought to be teachers, ye need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come out to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, and that is those who by reason of use of their senses exercise both good and evil. And the last passage is in 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, and envying, and all evil speaking. As newborn babes, desiring the milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, for indeed you have, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. This is the first time I put all these verses together, and I saw something here. And what I see is there is a start in Christianity called a babe in Christ. And these are some of the characteristics that go with a babe. One is you're carnal. And the meaning of carnal is being governed by mere nature, human nature, and not the Spirit of God. Carnality is an attribute of a child. It is, if we are struggling with being envious, having strife, and divisions, I don't know if this hits home or not to you, but and the Word of God says, if this is who you are, you're carnal. And if you're carnal, you're a baby. And I'm not talking about physical age. I'm talking about spiritual maturity. If this is who you are, this is what you are. You're a babe. If you have malice, if you struggle with deceit, if you struggle with hypocrisy, if you struggle with envy, evil speaking, you're a baby. I have nothing against being a baby, but I just want to clarify what we are if we struggle with these things. And if you go to which one is it? It's in Corinthians. No, in Hebrews. It says, I want you, by now, you guys should be teachers. And one thing I want to bring out here, these categories here, it does talk about their words like young men and fathers, but this is a category. This is not talking about just men. This is also talking about women. You can put in their young men, young women. You can put in their mothers. But here in these passages, the writer of Hebrews is talking, by now you should be teachers. But you're not. You're still babies. Why? Because they were struggling with, they were not going beyond basic Christianity. It says here, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. What was he talking about? If you go into Hebrews chapter 6, which is the next passage, 1 through 3, it says, therefore, leaving the discussions of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith to God, doctrine of baptisms, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. This is basic Christianity. Talking about salvation, talking about hell, talking about the judgment of hell, the laying on of hands. This is basic Christianity. This is what you feed a person. This is what you teach a person when they're just learning about God. This is the basic things. And recently, I was in a meeting, And the meeting was about the tent meetings in New Holland. And the leaders there were there, and they were just going around sharing. Everyone was just sharing what they, how they processed the meetings. It was after it was all over. And one man shared, I wish there had just been more there. All it was is like, no, he said not all it was, but I want to go further. I want to go more. There's another man spoke up. This man was just newly converted. He said, I just loved it. I went totally out of my way to come, and I felt so fed. What was the difference of two men, one saying, I was hoping we could go a little further, and the other one says, ah, this was so refreshing. I just loved it. I got the CDs. I play them all the time. It was, and he admitted, I'm a babe in Christ. And what was the difference? They were teaching the basic principles of the Word of God. And I want you to hear me. I'm not against this. But it just clarified to me. It was just very interesting. I mean, this thing was just played out right in front of me. How one person wanted more, and the other one saying, this is just great. And it was all in their part of the journey of Christianity. And the question can give, okay, how do we grow? How do we rise out of this place of basic Christianity? It talks about carnality. It talks about, you know, in Peter, I love this passage where it says, lay aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envying, and evil speaking as newborn babes. You know, this is the characteristics of a newborn babe. But as you desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow by there, that you may grow thereby. If indeed, if you have tasted that God is gracious. What I see is, as newborn people, if we take the word of God and we apply it, we will grow. If you do not apply it, you don't grow. The Hebrews, he was reproving them, saying, by now you should be teachers. How many of us fit in this category? By now we should be teachers, but because we refused to apply the word of God in my life, in our lives, we just stayed a baby. I know it might be tempting in your mind to start running about the whole Christianity around us. Let's just keep that out, and let's bring it to ourselves. Where are we? Am I growing? I want to put this out to you. Are you growing? There's something about here that I like, and that is a desire for growth. I love that we have here. Just a desire for growth. Are you growing? And I think right here we can find very basic principles, and it's just simply put yourself in the Word of God, and as you read, as you understand, apply it and live it out. If you do that, you will grow. Now, I'm going to go to the next one. And that is little children. Now, as I read these verses, pay very close attention to these verses. Because this here is when I was reading these verses, my eyes were just open. And compare this with the verses I just read. The verses I just read was talking about letting aside, letting go of sin, and growing. Now, let's look at the next group of people here. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. If anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. 1 John 2:12. I write to you little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And the last part of verse 13. I write to you little children, because you have known the Father. 1 John 2:18. Little children, it is the last hour. as you have heard from the Antichrist, is coming. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. 1 John 2:28. Now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. 1 John 3:7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he, which is talking about Jesus, is righteous. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. 1 John 4:4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. I don't know if you can understand the difference between those two groups. I mean, it's so clear to me. Going back over these verses, 1 John 2:1. It is talking about, okay, if you do sin, you have an advocate with the Father. It's teaching you how to live it out now. It is not laying aside. It's teaching us, okay, if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. It's learning how to walk in life above sin. It's still the learning part. 1 John 2:12, I write to you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. It is learning how to walk in freedom. Your sins are forgiven. You don't have to live under condemnation. Rise. You can live. You can do this. 1 John 2:13, the last part. I write to you, little children, because you have known the Father. It's knowing God. 1 John 2:18. It is the last hour, and you have heard that the Antichrist has come. Even now, many Antichrists have come, by which we have known that it was the last hour. It's starting to be discerning. Now you're discerning things. You're not embracing everything. Do you see the growth from a babe? There's a distinct difference here. 1 John 2:28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, he may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. It's learning how to abide. This is in the category of little children. It's learning how to abide. Not being worried about what all is out there, what all the world says about us, what category they put you in, but it's learning to abide in Christ and feel safe. And I believe there's enough little children here that you see this in your children. They feel safe in your presence. Do you feel safe in the presence of God? When the world is storming around us, do you feel God's presence and you can abide in that? It's wonderful. First John 3:7. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. It is learning. I mean, these verses just, I don't know, it fires me up. Because it is learning to recognize that as we live a righteousness, we start seeing that we of ourselves don't have what it takes, but we learn that God's righteousness is on us and we can live in that. We can live in freedom. We can live in peace. We can live in God's righteousness. But this is something we got to learn. And it's so often we don't get even to this part. I guess I was amazed and just wondering, how many of us stay babes all our life? All our life might reach young children. My desire is that we learn all these things and we grow till we become fathers and mothers spiritually. 1 John 3:18. My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That's right, I said it, but I'm going to say it again. And that is this. It is not only speaking about what God is saying, but it's doing it. This is the part of little children. It's learning to do what we know to do. Instead of just speaking out, instead of just teaching, but living it. 1 John 4:4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Which is the them? I believe it's the darkness. Have overcome sin. Because he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. It's learning how to become an overcomer in life. Not living in defeat, not living as a victim, but living as an overcomer. We have overcome the world, but this is something we got to learn how to do. This is not natural, but this is something we got to learn. 5:21. Little children, keep yourself from idols. As we learn, we come discerning, we discover idols in our life, and we learn to keep ourselves from those things. Do you see the difference between the two categories here? It is so clear to me, and I'm just amazed. Now, going to the next part, of young men. In Titus 2:6, it says, therefore exhort the young men to be sober-minded. Some of the definitions of sober-minded is to be in one right mind, to exercise self-control, to put a moderate estimate upon oneself, thinking of oneself soberly, to curb one's passion. As you go into 1 John again, I write to you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Now, this the way this is written, it is not working at overcoming, it is being an overcomer. And the character of the young man is When we live as an overcomer, it's not working at it and failing and keep going at it till you, but it's living it out. That where as you go in life, you live an overcomer. You're an overcomer. It's part of who you are. 1 John 2:14. I write unto you, young men, because you are strong. The word of God abides in you. And you have overcome the wicked one. Do you see the difference between this stage and the little children's stage? The little children is like, this is where we're going. This is what you need to practice. This is what you worked on. Now the young men, now you did that. Now this, you have overcome the wicked one. You have done it. You have learned the word of God abides in you. You're living it out. You understand the darkness around you, and you lived above the darkness. Another verse that I came to my mind as I was studying this is in Romans 8:2, which I believe, Romans 8:1-2, which I believe is in the same category here. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ, in Christ Jesus, have made me free from the law of sin and death. It's living free of condemnation. I was so blessed when I was reading these verses. Because first you have the babe, where they're struggling with sin. Then you have the children, little children, who's learning to live above sin. To learning to be live a learning who they are in Christ, learning how to abide in Christ, learning how to be an overcomer in the learning stages. Then you have young men that they learn these things. Now they're living it out. This is who they are. Now the last stage is fathers. And I could not find a lot in here in the area of fathers, but there are some verses I want to bring out here. 1 Corinthians 4:15, it says, "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel." And I want to open this up here. Why do you think Paul was saying you have many instructors, but not many fathers? What is some of the key differences between an instructor and a father? There's differences. What are the differences? Unconditional love. Thank you. Okay. Anyone else? The difference between an instructor and a father. Because Paul said you got many instructors, but hardly any fathers.
A
Instructor to me is the one that says things but doesn't really care. He just instructs. A father cares about the children. He, when they fall, he cries. He's there to protect them. He's there to provide for them. He's there to guide them through life. Instructor don't do that. That's not really their job. But a father... That's right. The father walks with them. The caring is there that is not with instructor. And this is no slam against instructors. It's a different category of people. You do not operate, all you fathers here, you operate with your sons and daughters different than you do in a school. A school, they instruct. But when they walk out the door, they kind of let them go. No, a father is there all the time. I mean, they're called to be there. Now, here's some more verses. Now, this here brings out what I was saying a little clearer in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. As you know how we have exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father does his child, that you may be walk worthy of the worthy of God who called you to his own kingdom and glory. The father will comfort, will exhort, will instruct, will guide. And now 1 John 2:13, "I write to you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning." And I don't know why, but the very next verse, it repeats the same phrase where it says, "I have written on you fathers because you have known him who is from the beginning." Now, I want to bring this practical into our life as much as we can. When I went into the Bible and tried to find a characteristics of a father, it didn't give me hardly anything as far as what a spiritual father looks like. All the rest of them, it was so crystal clear. I was looking for this. And I could not find. It talked a lot about a heavenly father. You could draw something out. But I was looking for verses that bring out what a father does. And my opinion is we all know what a father does. I believe this is pretty, we can get a pretty good idea what it looks like. So, as you analyze these four different categories, who are you? Are you struggling with sin? Are you learning to overcome? Have you overcome? Or are you at the point where you're willing, ready to be a father or a mother? What I look at a father and mother is someone who will bring instruction, someone who will create reproduction, caring, feeding, teaching, protecting, providing, taking responsibility. A instructor will take responsibility in the classroom, but his part, but that's about it. A father will take responsibility for his sons till they come a part of life where the father might say, okay, son, I trained you, now you're responsible. But for a little child, a father, a good father, will take responsibility for his children. Where are you at? In those categories. And if you don't want to say that, that's okay. I'm not so concerned about where a person is at as I am that you recognize where you're at and you start growing from that point on. Because I am totally convinced you can be 70 years old and be a babe all your life. And we wonder why there's not reproduction in the body of Christ. Could it be there's no fathers and mothers? What does a household look like if little children would be running the household? What would a house look like if the oldest people in the house is teenagers? How would that flow? I'll let some of the others. This is mind pictures, but how would it like if the ones in charge would be all 16 years old? Or maybe 12 years old? Do we wonder why there's so much bickering, so much fighting in Christianity today? Is it because there's no fathers and mothers amongst us to bring stability, to bring direction, to take responsibility of what's going on and walk it out? Do you understand where I'm coming from? Am I being clear? Because I believe we need to understand. Because we need to see, okay, let's just say, when you look at these passages, oh, I'm a little child. I'm totally okay with that. But let's grow. Let's not stay there. Let's not wait till our journey is over to discover that, oh, we were babies all our life. We were struggling with envy all our life. There is nothing wrong with saying, yes, I struggled with envy at one time, but that's gone. I'm past that. That's okay. That's part of growth. But I think where we need to strive for is strive to become spiritual fathers and mothers. And I believe that is when the body of Christ will grow the best. If we are spiritually mature and can live it out. Any comments anyone wants to make? Any thoughts, any input anyone has? I think the question is it possible to be a little child in one area and to be more mature in another? I think it would be. But I think we should analyze those areas and put attention. To me, this is my philosophy. In spiritual maturity, it does not take decades to grow. What it does take, it takes a hunger for truth. If you have a hunger for truth and you have the Holy Spirit in your life and you have obedience, if you have those three areas, first of all, I'm going to say the Holy Spirit. You feed the Holy Spirit with hunger and you start feeding that. And then as you understand, you will obey, you will grow the fastest. Now, if you take out any of those three areas, you're going to be stunted. If you don't have the Holy Spirit to help you process, I call the Holy Spirit a processor. That as you learn, you process the Word of God. And without the aid of the Holy Spirit, my perspective is you're not going to get a whole lot out of the food you get. Because the Holy Spirit guides you. It directs you. It interprets for you. The Holy Spirit, you need the Holy Spirit to process the food you take in. Without the Holy Spirit, you're going to be stunted. But then you need hunger. And any of us know if we're hungry, we are drawn to food. You don't have to discipline yourself if you're hungry because you're drawn to food. So if you have hunger, you will have food. Your digestive system will work because you have the Holy Spirit, and that will produce knowledge of what you need to do. Then as you obey, you will grow. Guaranteed recipe for growth. You got to have all three. And pay attention to those areas that you see I need to work on here and do it. Don't just process it and throw it aside, but do it. Be obedient. Obedience to me is huge. You got to obey. Anyone else? Any other questions? Any other comments, inputs? I can easily embrace that. But if we find those areas, if we have the Holy Spirit in our life, He will point out those areas. But I believe we should work on all areas. Anyone else? To me, I thought about some of those same areas as I was thinking about this. Now, this is a perspective. I have no problem someone putting me in a category of a Mennonite. It doesn't faze me at all. But I think where we need to refrain from is let's not fight and say, you're a Baptist, therefore okay, you stay there. There's a division here. Let's not go after the divisions. If someone wants to put a, because this is reality. If you can put a name on you, you tend to have a certain thinking pattern. Because within cultures, there's certain things that they're strong on. And people like to know, you know, what you are, and then they can kind of categorize you. Whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But let's not, what I don't want is we cannot use this as division. We cannot put one group up, other group down. We cannot fight amongst ourselves because of groups. That is carnal. Now, to be classified as a group, I don't know. It doesn't bother me. But we should not have divisions amongst us because of that. Anything else? Yes. Say that again. Sure. But I'm not sure how, but yeah. Okay. Let me ask this. Do we want the responsibility of being fathers and mothers spiritually? in our society today, to be a father or a mother is kind of looked down on. And what you want to be is you want to be the young men. Full of life, full of vigor, with no responsibility. With being a father or a mother spiritually comes responsibility. Do we want it? You're ones with little children. You see what it takes to be children, take care of your children. Based on the information that I collect at work, they keep you up at night at sometimes. I've never been there. They cry in the middle of the night. You oversleep because your child was up half the night and the alarm clock just didn't wake you up that morning. Are we ready for that spiritually? That in the middle of the night we get a phone call, someone crying, and we're there to comfort them. Are we there? We get a phone call and we're going to let everything go and we're going to be a father to this situation. Are we willing to take responsibility? Are we willing to care? That caring is a pretty big deal. I don't know if you ever felt like giving up because caring hurts. If you care for someone and they go, I'm going to say left field, or walk away from God, if you truly care, you hurt. And there can come a point that you get so weary of caring that you let go caring. But a father will care. I guess to me, that caring is almost the biggest area for me personally. Because caring hurts. Because you're taking responsibility. So, yes, I'm going to lead in a word of prayer here. Not sure what's going to come out. But we're simply going to ask God to teach us how to be a father. And if you want to join me, go ahead. Lord God, today I recognize that where I am in life, that I want to grow. I want to learn how to become a father or mother and walk these things out in your kingdom. Teach me, Father, how to be this. In Jesus' name, amen. Go ahead, Dave.
Physical fathers, yes, but spiritual fathers, being that father, discipling, a lot of us don't have examples of that and don't know how to do that for others.